Hey guys, and welcome to Fatherhood. You are listening to the Dad's Group podcast, a place where you and I get to connect with incredible leaders, check the future of fatherhood together, and dig deeper into what is happening inside the minds and hearts of new and expecting fathers. Today, we hear from Dad's Group legend, Aaron McDougall, who will be chatting with us about finding your identity as a dad, which is a topic that I really resonate with, and I'm going to really love this conversation we're about to have. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands we all meet on today. I'd like to pay respect to elders past, present, and emerging, and any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people we have listening to this episode today. Adam, hey, mate, good to have you here, dude. I just called you Adam. I'm going to call you Aaron. So let's start the podcast properly and call you by the right name, Aaron.
That would be a good start. Hey, mate. Yeah. How are you going?
Good. So for our listener listening in today, Aaron and I, we go to the same dad's group. We're in a local dad's group together. Aaron's got no leadership part of the dad's group in our local area or in any leadership at all. But something I love about you, Aaron, is you are so invested in other people. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't need that title of leader to be a leader. And that's something I've really appreciated watching you in this space of dads and supporting dads, but also in our friendship. You know what I mean? Like, Adam and I don't know why I'm calling you Adam for.
We're such good mates. Bear doesn't even know my first name.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't even know who you are. I just paid you to come on here, dude. So, no.
Who really knows who they are, mate? Yeah.
So, Aaron actually asked me out on a date. That's how we started getting to know each other. We met each other at Dad's Group, and Aaron dated me, which was fantastic. Took me out for a meal. I ordered the most expensive thing on the menu, and he even was willing to halve it with me.
We went Dutch.
So we've done that. So we've just really grown to be better mates through that. Just, you know, with Dad's Group being sort of the core of what's drawn us together, our relationship with our kids and our encouragement to each other. But that's just a little bit of background about Aaron and I, and just become a really great mate of mine, and just loved that. The center of our relationship has been our kids, which has been so great. It's been awesome.
Thanks, mate.
But to start this episode, mate, I want to just ask you something that we ask a lot is, how are you out of 10?
Thank you. I reckon I'm about a 7 out of 10 at the moment. As you know, having some dramas with my eldest, sort of settling into life with 3 kids, like we had a newborn recently, and we've just found that like behavior's really been escalating since then. So
yeah,
this has been a great space. Just chatting to you and other dads, like just trying to get some tools and strategies around managing that. But that being said, it is challenging, you know. He carries on and, you know, might hit or throw or do stuff that really triggers me. So, kids are sleeping better, which is good, but just probably that one thing there that I'm struggling with mainly at the moment. But, you know, apart from that, things are going, like, and we'll delve into this in the podcast, but things are going really well for me at the moment. And that's mainly due to some of the steps that I've been taking, ironically focusing on myself more than maybe focusing on, you know, sort of Ash and the kids. But yeah, mate, just to throw that back to you, how are you doing out of 10 today?
I'm doing well, man. I think, so I'm probably a 9 or a 10 today, which is awesome. I think this morning, so for our listener, Aaron and I and another mate of ours called up this morning, just as a hangout with the kids at the playground. And I think that always, you know, starting our day like that is pretty solid. You know, you and I spoke about some difficulties that we're having with our kids and difficulties that we're having with our kids, but our reactions to those difficulties, I think, is probably the thing that gets me down the most as a dad. So having that conversation is one, it's good to get it off your chest, but also it normalizes the struggle, which helps me a lot too. It's not okaying our reactions. It's not saying like, oh, we reacted in a really bad way, that's fine. It's more like, no, I understand that. I relate to that. And I'm having that same struggle too. So that was really great. Just our catch up this morning, just again, set the mood for now. My responses to my kids have just been really helpful. But also, so we got number 4 on the way. Amy went to the doctors today and, you know, can hear the heartbeat and everything. So everything's healthy, which is fantastic. And you know, you had that experience too. Up until like you start to feel the baby, it's that nervous, like, is everything okay? Is everything okay? And so hearing a heartbeat is really awesome. And, you know, we've just come out of that, not just come out of, but earlier in the year, we had a miscarriage as well. So there's a little bit of triggers and anxiety around this.
Glad to hear that, mate.
Pregnancy compared to the other kids. So yeah, again, hearing that heartbeat, it's just like this weight going off. And so we're really looking forward to be able to start feeling bub move. But until then, you know, these little things are awesome. But that's great. So tell us a bit about your family, mate. Who makes up the McDougall family?
So the Australian branch of the McDougall clan have myself and my beautiful wife, Ash, who I met 7 years ago when I moved over to Australia from the UK. And then we've got three beautiful, challenging, energetic kids. So we've got Muzz, he's our three-year-old. Isabel is 18 months old now. And then Arlen is nearly 3 months old.
It's great, dude. We went to Aaron's house for dinner last night. And we talked about this morning, actually, because we caught it up again this morning. We were at Aaron's house for probably 3 hours, around about 3 hours. We had a meal and stuff. We had more conversation at the playground than at his house last night because this wasn't happening. Like, no. It was chaos. Like, my kids, new players, excitement, and then your kids having people over and the excitement, it's full on. But
Ash and I were speaking about it as well this morning, and the way I kind of tried to sum it up was, and we talked about it last night, didn't we, that like got blokes that don't have kids just don't understand. Like, we were saying, imagine if you just invited like one of your mates from footy or something like that, someone you'd known for years, and say, hey, come around tonight, we'll have a couple of beers, we'll have dinner. And then just the chaos that ensues when you've got, what do we have, like six kids running around?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that until I had kids. Like, I'd even see glimpses of it because my brother's got three kids as well who are a little bit older than my kids. I'd seen glimpses of it, but you, like so many things, you don't understand it until you're like on the ground in the trenches living it. And Ash and I were like, that was hard work last night, right? Like, it was, trying to prep dinner and keep, kids are like falling over and crying and throwing things and you're worried about stuff breaking. But I reckon it's not as hard as not doing it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because I think part of my journey has been, I think as a father, sometimes I've avoided doing things because I'm just like, oh, what if Muzz has like a tantrum in the middle of the shop, or, like, we want to go out for brekkie or something like that. And it's a challenge. Kids are spilling drinks. They want to get down. They want to run around. They're bothering other people. And there's all this anxiety that like, oh, I want to go, but it's going to be a mess. But then, so what do? You just like, you live your whole life at home, just you, your wife and your kids, and you never go out. You never expose your kids to like other people and other experiences. So I think that was a big learning curve for me. It was like, this is going to have its challenges. But then there were also other moments last night when we all finally got sat around the table and we were eating food, and there was just like that, that silence, and the kids were all enjoying their food. And we had a bit of like a joke and a chat, and we got to know each other a little bit more. And it's just that shared experience. Like, we had some food and then it was chaos for a bit. And then of course the ice cream came out, which like drew all the kids back to the table. So there was some really nice moments about it too.
For sure.
And just today, I'm feeling so much more energized for having socialized with you and Amy last night, even though we to get to talk that much, even though we spent most of the time, because we're going to be parenting anyway, right? That's the way I see it. It's like, for me, I'd rather interact with like six kids than my three kids, because then at least your kids can play with my kids and they can learn off each other, and they play really nicely together too.
Yeah, man. And we spoke about that today, actually, like, at the playground. It's so nice. It's one thing about looking after your kids alone, and not downplaying that, being a parent is great, but there's one thing about looking after your parents alone, like going to a playground with your kids alone and then going with a mate, like having, four eyes over, compared to two over six kids, it's so much easier. And that's the thing, is like, I look out for your kids, you look out for my kids, and it's awesome, dude. And you're 100% right. Like, last night for us, we got to Amy was saying on the way to your place, because it's the first time you guys met Amy, actually.
Yeah.
Was she can't remember the last time that we actually went to someone's house that we didn't know. That was the first time in such a long time, especially because of COVID and all that as well. But it was beautiful, mate. And we got to, we went to your house, it was crazy. And we're in the middle of a conversation, then mid conversation, you've got to walk away because you've got to deal with the kids, or I've got to walk away. Yeah. But you just get that, you relate to that. You're like, oh yeah, I completely resonate with this, which makes the experience so much nicer because you relate. Like, when you can relate to someone about something, it just makes the experience so much more nicer and solid and whatever else. So yeah, we loved it. We had such a great time, and I've connected with you extremely well from just getting to know you. Just coming into your home just brought that whole other level of connection, which was really nice. For sure, man. So, you know, obviously you're not from Australia. What brought you over here in the first place?
So, mate, I came over for 6 months originally to play rugby union. So,
yeah,
for me, it's one of those, when I look back at, you know, the series of events that brought me over to Australia, it feels like it's kind of scary how it all panned out. But basically, the overview would be, I was in like a really serious relationship back in England. So I was 24 years old. I was like in my own house with my girlfriend, who at the time I considered like I was going to marry this girl. We were going to have kids. I was planning to spend the rest of my life with her. And then just out of the blue one day, it's ironic, like I had friends over for dinner and it was like a really nice, it was a new mate from work. First time he'd been around, still good mates with him now. You know, he and his then, I think they maybe were, it was his then wife or fiance. They're not together anymore, but he, you know, they came over and we had dinner and it was really nice. And then literally out of the blue, you know, my ex turned around and was like, I can't do this anymore. And I can't even remember what the reasoning was, but it just absolutely floored me. You know, and I always prided myself on being like a good partner, you know, like I was loyal. I was attentive. I always put, you know, and this is part of the problem, right? Like I can see it now, putting her needs before my own and kind of like losing myself in the relationship a bit.
Yeah.
Which is probably a nice segue to what we're talking about today about losing yourself in fatherhood. It's a similar theme. And just kind of broke it off. And I think part of the reason she probably did it was she had a lot of her own struggles. And I think maybe she felt like she was dragging me down a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing that could have happened. But obviously at the time I was absolutely devastated. And then, 2 weeks later, I was on a plane to Australia. I'd stopped playing rugby. So I'm a, you know, keen rugby union player, or I was until I retired a couple of years ago, but, I was about to join a new club, and then the manager of the new club I was going to join, who's a close friend, sent me a message and said, mate, don't, like, makes me sound like a terrible player, but he's like, don't come and play for me. I've just been in contact with a mutual friend who I used to play with as well, who's Australian. He's back in Australia and they're looking for players in Albury, which is where I live now, on the border of Albury-Wodonga, Victoria, New South Wales. And I was like, I can't do it. You know, like I've still got like a rental lease on my house. I've got all this furniture I need to get rid of. I've got a car. I can't just up and go. And one thing I'll always be grateful for, like my mom and dad were really, really, especially dad, so supportive. He was like, just go, I'll make sure, you know, your ex-partner gets out the house. I won't leave her with all the furniture. I'll help her, you know, sort it out and sell it and do everything. Literally 2 weeks later, was on the plane over here and got to start a new life in a new country. I was here about 4 months and I was like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life here. Like,
that's amazing.
Really did.
That's cool. And I think, like, yeah, you did really touch on what we wanted to discuss today, which is about losing yourself in fatherhood. And this is where I wanted to go, because you have a whole other extra level that a lot of us don't. A lot of our listeners are actually international in terms of like living in Australia from another country. But I really feel like that's got a whole other level, extra level of difficulty with identity, because you're re-entering into a different culture. It's a similar culture, but it's a different culture. There's different things. Like we talk about the differences of Christmas, right? And how like dramatic differently, they are. And so how was that? Okay, so you've moved to a different country. You've met Ash. Okay, so you've been here for a few years now and you're starting to move into fatherhood. How has that journey been for you? Because like, again, you've got that extra level of difficulty of finding your identity in a new country, a new culture, a relationship, because even a relationship has a level of finding your identity within that relationship, and then fatherhood on top of that. How has that journey been for you?
Mate, it's been a huge journey. I think initially moving, for me personally, moving to a new country where I didn't know anyone. I knew one person as like, I wasn't mates with him. He was just like an acquaintance, I suppose, you know, like a teammate who I played a few games of footy with back in England years before. Was actually a really empowering experience for me, because I got to leave all my old like labels and relationships and ties behind. And it was like a clean slate. So I think in a lot of ways, it's really powerful to have that clean slate, because I just I came over here and I just got to be whoever I wanted to be. And I think when I was back in the UK, I was just playing the same role I'd always played. You know, I lived in the same town I was born in. I had the same mates. Even though I'd moved around a few rugby clubs, I still kind of, yeah, I was just, I guess I was still had this story about who I was and I was still playing it out. And then I came to a new country. And this is when I really got into personal development, because I kind of went, I can kind of like be whoever I want to be now. You know, I get to mold myself as a human being and I get to look the way I want to look. And I get to do, you know, this is why I changed careers as well and moved away from being an electrician into something I'm a lot more passionate about. And it, I suppose it was a lack of responsibility too, because I only had myself to consider. I didn't really have to worry about what my parents were doing or what my brothers were doing. And it, I suppose it's quite selfish, but it was nice to just focus on me for a change. And then I guess, you know, I met my beautiful wife a year later due to a lot of the work I'd done on myself. Like Ash later told me that one of the things that attracted her to me was I was just sort of going by the beat of my own drum, I suppose. So I got a lot of confidence in stepping out on my own and doing my own thing and going against the current in a lot of areas of my life, I suppose. And then being a father, something I was really excited about and passionate about. We talked about this before. Like, I'm really fortunate to have a fantastic role model in my dad. Like, my old man is just gold standard of fathering. Like, I look back, especially being a father now, I look back at so many times in my life and he was always there, always present. You know, he taught me so many things, like, you know, your more traditional things, like he used to take us camping and taught us how to like light fires and be out in the bush and that kind of thing. But my dad was also like an emotional rock for me too. Like, I remember as a kid, you know, just he'd let, you know, hold space for me to cry and express my emotions. He never shamed me for expressing those emotions. Like, he was well ahead of his time in terms of his, you know, emotional intelligence and how he wanted to be a dad. So I've, you know, coming from that, like, so much I learned from my dad, and I'm passionate about, you know, masculinity and men's work as well. Like, this is some of the work I'm doing now. And, you know, having two sons, I'm so excited to like pass on everything I've learned about being a man onto them and help, you know, mold them to be sort of happy and resilient human beings. So I love being a dad and I always wanted to be a dad, but I wasn't ready for it. And I don't know if anyone is.
So, okay, so that's really good, man. You weren't ready to be a dad, and you're so right. Like, you know, I did a lot of looking into what it's like to be a dad. You know, my wife and I spoke a lot about, you know, the type of parents we want to be, all this sort of stuff. But then reality hits, man, and it's very different. You cannot prepare yourself for the journey of being a dad. So you can't prepare yourself for that. It's so broad.
You don't know the journey you're going to take, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's, for me, it was the things that like most people talk about, you know, because it's generally you talk to most parents and they're, you know, most people. And I try and be a bit more positive about the experience of being a parent, because as a parent, you do need to vent, right? And you and I do a lot of this when we catch up. We'll just go like far out, like, today was hard, you know, like my son just drew on all the cupboards with Texter or did X or did Y. And you need to get that out. You need to just, you know, vent and get that off your chest. But my experience of you know, because obviously Ash and I have had three kids in very quick succession, and that's what we planned to do and that's what we wanted to do. And, you know, you get a lot of negative connotation to that sometimes. People like, oh, say goodbye to the next 10 years of your life, or good, you know, have fun never sleeping again. So I was prepared for like the lack of sleep, and I was prepared for some things, but for me it was just the things I didn't even anticipate that were the hardest. Right? And I guess that's what's so powerful about, you know, what you're doing with the dad's group, is like you're sharing these stories and you go, oh yeah, like I really struggled with just a real quick example for me, like my wife and I both work part-time and share childcare, right? Like, you know, that whole like babysitting thing where people say as a dad, oh, you're babysitting the kids.
And I don't like that.
I'm a parent too. Like, I'm
caring
my kids. And I had like a real internal challenge with feeling like, I suppose, lazy for like being at home looking after the kids. I was like, no, I should be out like working and earning money. Even though I do work and I do earn money, it's because I'm not doing like you know, at least 40 hours a week on site or whatever it is like I used to, I kind of, there was a lot of resistance that came up to that. So that was part of my challenge, to feel comfortable with, you know, because it's challenging having like three young kids at home by yourself, but there's also times where the kids are asleep and I'm kind of just at home and I'm like, I'm going to like relax now. I'm going to chuck an audiobook on. I'm going to watch a bit of Netflix because I deserve it, right? And if, you know, if I was at work and I had an hour lunch break, I'd feel nothing about scrolling social media on my phone or going for a walk, you know, and grabbing a coffee. But because I'm at home, I kind of feel like, oh, I'm being lazy. It's kind of a bit guilty. So that was a big part of my journey too, like being comfortable with that.
Yeah, and as well, like, man, yeah, you just use the analogy of work and lunchtime. But the thing is, when you knock off at work, you leave, you like a lot of the time you leave work at work. You know what I mean? But with the kids, dude, like you take any moment you can to relax and rejuvenate and like refresh, dude, because just because they've gone to bed, your job's not done, man. Like we're going through a whole season, the moment where our kids are waking up multiple times a night. And my kids are older than your kids, you know, and it's like
that's rough.
Parenting is a full-time gig, man, and it's sometimes they kick you out of your own bed and like, you know, so you take those moments by yourself, dude. Yeah. Like seriously. But yeah. I'm the same. I don't like when people say you're babysitting your kids. Like, oh no, I'm a bloody parent. Like I am a parent of my kids and I will look after my kids. Like, yeah, I don't like it to be put into the babysitting category. Something that you and I spoke about on our date night. And I refer to it as a date night. It was cute. It was nice.
You never asked me out for another date though.
I didn't. And
you have been to my place. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
And I haven't invited you to mine. You know what I mean? I'm putting out these little hints, dude. You're not getting them. Yeah, that's all right. Something we spoke about, though, dude, because, again, it was just, you know, when you and I spoke, we sort of shared our journeys. We had a lot of overlap. Like, we just really related to each other's journeys. Something we spoke about was when we had kids for the first time, and it's just a bit of our personality, is it was so focused on the family. It was so focused on the mum. It was so focused on the kid. Can you share a little bit about that for you? And I know you know where I'm going with this. Yep. And I'd just like you to sort of go into that stage for a bit and share your journey of that, of you just becoming a new dad.
Yep.
That this role that you put yourself into and what that looks like going forward from there.
I think it was, for me, it was a combination of feeling kind of useless and like a third wheel in my own relationship. So just a bit of backstory, when I moved to Australia, I was been an electrician, been a tradie for years, never passionate about it. And when I was studying life coaching, I stopped being a tradie and actually started working in schools as a teacher's aide. And through doing this work, like I've always liked kids. And then through doing this work, I just fell in love with them. Like working in primary schools, it's just, apart from what I do now, it's the best job I've ever had. Like it didn't feel like work. And I think, you know, if that role was probably better paid or like the hours were a bit more favorable, I'd probably still be doing that now. So I just absolutely loved kids and, you know, mentoring kids and just learning so much from them too about myself, about just not taking myself seriously and being able to play. And you know, there's so much you can learn from them. There's so much wisdom in those little kids. So, but basically just being really, really comfortable with children, but obviously older children. And then, you know, Ash was pregnant and I was, you know, really helpful through the pregnancy. I was really making sure that she was comfortable and she had everything she needed. And then Murray came along and, you know, Ash was breastfeeding and I just felt kind of useless. You know, Murray would be crying. I'd be rocking him. I'd be trying everything. And then Ash would just be like, oh, he's just hungry. And I'd be like, well, what do you want me to do? You know, so I'd have to hand her over. And she just tired because she was breastfeeding and, you know, up most of the night. And when we had Mars, I would get up with her and help change nappy and swaddle him and this kind of thing, which I don't do with Arlen. We're at the stage now where we're just like, if one of us can get a good night's sleep, then we can take up more slack the next day and, you know, give the other parent a bit of a break. And being a third wheel in my own relationship is just, you know, obviously all of Ash's attention and focus was on the baby. And I just felt like she didn't even want me around half the time. And that was a real challenge for me, right? You know, we're really close. We've always had a close relationship. We're really good friends as well. Like we're not just partners, we're good friends. And that was just difficult. I think I'd been using her as one of like my main support network leading up to when we had Murray. So of course, I think I was expecting too much for her to be as present as she was before the birth, after, because of course, you know, biologically too, like she's wired to just solely focus, you know, if we're going back thousands and thousands of years, like this infant survival is so, it's so dependent on my wife and her milk and her protection that, yeah, I did just feel a bit useless and like a bit of a third wheel. So it probably wasn't until Muzz was about 7 or 8 months old that I really started to like feel like I was a worthwhile father, I suppose, you know, and I could play with him and get some giggles back and that kind of thing. And I could take him for walks and give Ash a bit of a rest, and he'd take a bottle so I could feed him, because he, you know, he didn't take a bottle initially either, so I couldn't even feed him. So that was probably my biggest challenge. And what I say to new dads as well is just be prepared for, you know, you're probably not going to be able to be as helpful as your wife is. So I suppose my role was supporting Ash to look after our newborn. And then as the kids are getting older, I've been able to take more of a front seat in that, which I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, that's great, dude. And again, I really resonate with that. Mine's a little bit different in terms of, you know, emergency cesarean. My wife had to get put under general anesthetic and I took on that lead role with Charlie when he was born, because so much was going on. So it's a little bit different there, but again, just that feeling of uselessness. You want to take all the stuff away from your partner, like, you know, the birthing stuff, like you see them in this pain, you're like, oh, I want to do that. I'm going to ask the question today, actually, just before we caught up now. I'm like, how are we going? I'm like, oh, fourth time around is not too bad. But the same thing that sticks around is like, I still feel useless. Like my wife is now, like she's way more tired. Her body's aching. She's going through all this sort of stuff. And I can be as hands-on as possible, but I can't take that. And that's a really hard thing for me.
Yeah.
So that's really great, mate. I love you sharing that about your journey with, you know, feeling like a third wheel. What have you done to try and work through that though? You know, like,
yeah.
So you have that feeling. Did you have a sense of, like you said, uselessness, you feel sort of useless. How did you make yourself feel useful?
Yeah, mate, that's a great question. And it's a pattern I think I've noticed in my life, right? Where I talked about earlier about, you know, when my girlfriend broke up with me before I came to Australia. And it's just this pattern of kind of investing myself in other people. So something you said about me at the start, which you said about I'm invested in people and I love people. I always have. And I love building communities, and that's why I wanted to become a life coach. I wanted to help people. I that lights me up. I love it. I suppose the downside to that and where you have to have that balance is sometimes you can be too invested in other people and forget about yourself. And I think that was feedback for me when I became a father, is I was so invested in my relationship with my wife and being a dad that I was letting other stuff kind of drop off. So I wasn't focused on my rugby like I used to be. I wasn't training. I wasn't pursuing like hobbies and interests. It was just like work, husband, dad, work, husband, dad. And, you know, we're kind of like, logically, we're like, well, I want to be a better dad. I'll be around more, right? Or I want to, you know, be a better husband. I'll be around more. But I did a lot of research, a lot of reading up on it and speaking to other guys. And it's like, sometimes like the way we be the best dad or the best husband is actually by being like the best person, the best man we can be. And being the best man doesn't often mean sitting around the house all day trying to help out, right? And that was a real challenge for me because it seemed contradictory. I was like, I want to be a present father, but I took it too far the other way. I think I was like too present, too invested in my family that I wasn't doing the things I wanted to do. So my health was suffering, my mood was slipping. I probably just wasn't as exciting to be around as I am now. So that's been a big part of my journey, is being a little bit selfish and pursuing some more interests. So like I've been speaking to you, like I've been getting back into martial arts, well, not back into, I've never done it before, but since retiring from rugby, I've been going to like martial arts classes. And it's not like, it's only one night a week. Like I've got to be realistic and I've got to balance this with my role as a father. I don't want to be out all weekend playing, you know, playing footy or on the golf course or out multiple nights a week. But it was a big step for me to go, do you know what? One night a week, I'm going to go do martial arts. And then I'm going to try and catch up with a mate, maybe another night a week, and give the same opportunities to Ash as well. Started painting miniatures again. Like, I was mad into Warhammer when I was a kid and stopped for years. And then just wanted like a hobby that I could do at home, you know, that didn't take up too much space, wasn't too expensive, and just found that creative side to myself that I'd kind of locked away when I was in high school, because, you know, I was trying to get girls. And now I'm married, I'm like, well, I can paint miniatures, who cares? So yeah, just finding passions again, getting out, you know, going hunting again, getting out in the bush, camp, you know, we're going camping on Friday. I'm really excited about this and taking Muzz. So yeah, it's, I suppose, giving myself permission to pursue my passions, or even find passions, you know, because I didn't really have any when I, you know, had my son. And by doing that, I've found that my relationship, especially with my wife, has flourished. And then that's had a knock-on effect to my relationship with the kids.
That's great. And again, this is the big thing that you and I resonated with the most, is that I like that sense of identity as a dad is just, you're so focused on the family. You don't think about yourself. Like, you asked me the question, what are my hobbies? Like, when we hung out, I'm like, I don't know, man. Mm. Like, I just don't know what my hobbies are, because I haven't thought about them. Or the hobbies that I used to have are just not practical to do anymore. Like motorbike riding.
So important. And I think that's, you've hit like a really important, like you've hit the nail on the head there, is like, I think my hobbies before having kids was like going out and getting drunk with my mates. Right, like playing rugby, going out, getting drunk with my mates, and it's like, well, I've got, you know, like I've got a neck injury, so like it'd just be irresponsible to go, I need this, like this is important to me, I'm going to go play rugby again, because it could be quite catastrophic, right? So it's like, okay, draw a line under that. So I've like, well, where's the happy medium there? I enjoy the physical challenge, I enjoy the contact and the impact of rugby, but I can't play rugby. Well, maybe I could, you know, take. I've always been interested in martial arts, like learning the martial art. Why don't I take that up? And like, what's been fantastic is Christian, one of the guys in the group, he runs martial arts classes. So I met him through the dad's group, and I'm like, well, this guy gets it. He runs classes after the kids go to bed. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the great thing about this community, is we're all in the same stage of life. So we can help cater for each other, because we get it. Because, you know, a lot of martial arts classes start at bedtime. So it's like, well, I don't really want to leave Ash to put three kids to bed by herself every week. So I found these, they're not really compromises, because they're still what I want to do, but I guess they're just better aligned with the lifestyle I want to live.
And that's the thing, is like, you and Ash would have like decided that together too, you know? And I think that's a really important thing to say, is you're not being selfish in a negative way. It's a self-care selfishness. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not saying like, oh, I need this, I'm going to do this, you know, you don't understand me sort of thing to Ash. It's not that attitude. But it's like, look, for me to be a better dad, for me to be a better partner or husband in your case, like I need to rejuvenate. I need to self-care. I need to focus on me, because if I'm not 100%, I can't give 100%. And that's what I love about, you know, the relationship that you and Ash have, is just that you recognize the need that each of you have. And Amy and I, we've really struggled with that. We've moved to the area in the last year, and you just moving, or coming out of COVID, you know, all the lockdowns in Melbourne, and then moving, resettling, it's very hard to get into that. And we've slowly started doing that. So I'm so pumped for our camping trip this weekend, mate. It's going to be fantastic. And the stuff that we can do with the kids. And like I said, I'm not just doing it on my own. It's not just me and the kids. It's with mates around, more eyes on the kids, distraction for the kids with other kids, all that sort of stuff, which is fantastic.
And other kids too. Like your boys and Mars would just be like, they'll just be splashing around in the creek for hours. Yeah. You know, whereas if I was just there with Mars, he'd jump in the creek and then be like, on board, what are we doing now? So it's like having constantly entertaining. Yeah. That you're so right. Like other kids, like I think they're just built to be around other kids. Like they love it.
Yeah, so, definitely. And just for our listener as well, like we understand that dad's group is not everywhere, and we want it to be, we're working towards that, but it's not everywhere. So if you are like listening to this episode today and you're like, oh, I just want that community around me, then join us on our digital dad's group. Like that's what we have accessible for everyone everywhere. If there is not a time that suits you, please reach out to us through our website, and we can look into bringing in another time for that digital dads group session as well. So we really want to be accessible to anyone, anywhere. for that too. That's fantastic, mate. And, you know, we could talk about this for a lot. And you and I have spoken about this topic for like weeks, dude, like getting to know each other. This is a big thing that comes up for us is self-care for yourself and to become better dads and partners. But if you were to meet yourself, you've just had Murray in the hospital, what's some feedback that you would say, what's some advice that you would give yourself now?
So are we touching on those like three key points that
we're
talking about? Yeah. So I've actually given this a lot of thought and I wanted to write them down because as you probably know, like my brain works a bit like your brain and I'm just like, it just zigzags all over the place.
Yeah.
And I can just go off on tangents. So probably the most important thing, and this was, so I pre-COVID, I ran a bit of a men's group in Albury Wodonga. And one of the like really defining moments of that for me was we had one guy who was expecting like a baby really soon. And probably most of the blokes were a little bit older in this men's group that had turned up sort of in their 50s and 60s. And every single one of those guys, like without fail, was just like, enjoy your children growing up, because they'd all pursued their careers or, you know, chased kind of like these external goals and maybe not been as present with their kids as they wanted to be. And this was like a big regret that they'd all had. Now, I just want to make it really clear that I'm not saying like it's a choice, and I don't think like it's a bad thing if you are career driven and you've got like a passion and you're good at your work. I think that's awesome. So please don't think I'm like preaching and saying like quit your job and, you know, be a full-time dad or anything like that. But it's just, you know, a few of these guys, so I'll give an example. One guy was literally like, I wish I'd have sold my house and moved into like a one bed unit and sold my car and just, you know, half my hours at work just so we could survive. And again, like I know it's challenging at the moment with, you know, people's mortgages going up and these things. But yeah, that was really profound for me. Like all these guys that just basically told me, make as much time and make your life as streamlined as and easy as possible so you can be present with your kids. And that's been a big ethos for both Ash and I. So making that time to be, because if you think about it, you know, most of us, our lives are full, right? Like we're busy with like, maybe we play sport, we've got a job and we've got a partner. Maybe we've got like a mortgage that we need to pay or whatever it might be. And then we're like, okay, I'm going to have kids. And then you're like, well, where does all this extra time come from? Like, we don't really think about that. Like something's got to give, right? Or are we just going to try and stack being a dad on top of all those other things that we're already doing? So, you know, for example, as you know, like Ash and I took a bit of a chance on running an Airbnb, which nearly crippled us during COVID, but it's actually given us great work-life balance now where I get to manage that and drop a lot of hours at work. So I do that along with a few clients. We've got the gym that we run. We sold Ash's car, like we only run one car now. And we're not big on like, we don't spend a lot of money on clothes. We don't like, you know, we've got like a $400 TV that we've had for years. Like we don't buy gadgets, this kind of thing. We just try and live quite streamlined at the moment because we're both very passionate about being present and being around for our kids and just not having that added pressure of like, how are we going to make the bills this month? You know, if we have a couple of people cancel in the Airbnb or, you know, one of Ash's clients, she's a PT, if one of her clients, you know, they get pregnant and they can't train anymore and this kind of thing. So yeah, that really resonated with me about cutting back financially where we can so that we can be, because you think about it, you know, in 10 years, the kids are going to be in school full time. I'm only going to be like early 40s. So it's like, there's still plenty of work and that kind of stuff ahead of me, but I'm not going to get these early years with my kids back. So I'm really grateful that I've heard from other people who are further down the journey that have said, just make the time for your kids and your wife, which might sound contradictory to what I was saying before, but it's, yeah, there's only so many hours of the day. And if we're spending all that time with like work and then trying to parent, then we don't have any time for our wife, right? Or if we're spending all that time with just looking after the kids and looking after the wife, then we don't have any time for ourselves. So we need to find those extra hours, and the way I found that is by cutting back on my work. I granted I know that's not an option for everyone, but I think if my business failed today and, you know, Ash couldn't be a PT anymore, I think I would just go back to working at schools, you know, 8 a.m., 8:30 till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The money's not great, but I know that, you know, I'd be there, or, you know, 3 o'clock when my son wakes up, I'm there all afternoon for him. So that's probably my biggest piece of advice for myself and any new dads is, if you can, take some pressure off yourself. You know, if this is what you want to do, if you're passionate about being a dad and you want to be, or you need, you know, need to take care of your own mental health and physical health, and you want to be the best dad you can be, for me, that looks like cutting back in maybe some other areas and focusing on that a little bit more, because that's a priority for me. Granted, that might not be for everyone or even an option for some people, but I think if you're really brutally honest, you could look around and go, okay, maybe I could cut back here and here if it's going to take some pressure off for me and my kids.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're in a similar place. Like, just being okay with our financial situation at the moment, you know what I mean? Like, that's been a hard thing for me to wrestle with, is like, I'm similar to what you were mentioning earlier. You feel a bit selfish. Like, oh, I need to be working more. I need to, you know, bring in more money. We're not going to be able to set ourselves up for the future as much. And that's like, that is true, but I've never met anyone that's on their deathbed that says, I wish I spent more time on earning more money. It's always, yeah, I wish I spent more time with my family. Yeah. So we're trying to be okay with the season that we're in. It's not a big income. It's not anything else like that. We're making do, but we're present and we're enjoying this time.
I look at my kids as an investment,
mm,
right? So it's like, I might not be investing in property or, you know, in other areas like maybe I thought I would at this age, but I'm investing in my kids because, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I fully intend to build my business and be financially set up in the future, but I've tried to do both. And I wasn't in a good place because I was either too absent, or when I was with my kids, I was just stressing because I was waiting for clients to message back, or I was always checking emails. There was always marketing. I could be doing this kind of thing. So I found a really good balance at the moment. And yeah, you're right. It's about being okay with, I might not maybe be hitting like society's standards of success at the moment, but I know when Ash and I sit down and we get down on paper, like, what is really important to us? And it's like our mental health, our physical health, and the happiness of ourselves and our kids. And we're ticking those boxes at the moment. So, you know, yeah, we might not be looking at buying a second property, or we might not be looking at having a big holiday this year to Fiji, or whatever the financial goals that we both want. We're not there yet. And yeah, you're right. Just to be comfortable with that and go, that's okay. Like, you're allowed to live that way. It doesn't mean that you're lazy or you're a failure, because it's hard. It's not like we're taking an easy option, right? Like, it's hard to be around your kids all the time. As beautiful as it is challenging. So yeah, that's probably my main takeaway. And hopefully it challenges a few blokes, right? Like, if it's challenging you, that's probably a good thing. There's probably some room to grow there and maybe have that conversation and go, okay, well, what do I want? And if you do want to just work 4 days a week or 3 days a week, that's an option. And have that conversation with your partner, have that conversation with your boss, and you might be surprised by how well it's received.
Yeah. Definitely, mate. And that's awesome. We're going to wrap up here, because again, we can talk about this for hours, dude. When we've been talking about it for weeks, and this is Dad's Group, guys. For our listener, this is Dad's Group. It's catching up with other dads, sharing your journey, sharing encouragement and challenges to each other. That's the thing, is that Aaron and I catch up every week, most weeks we catch up, and we encourage each other. We challenge each other to improve, to prioritize, to think through the things that we need to become better dads and partners. And that's it. So, well, thank you guys so much for tuning in, Aaron, just sharing with us, mate. That's fantastic. And love your friendship, mate. It means a lot to me, and it's helped me through a really difficult time in resettling in a new area and getting new mates and just being the dad that I want to be. So thanks so much, mate. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you saying it, mate. And exactly the same to you. Like, you've definitely, the Dad's Group and yourself have come along at a really good time for me when I was branching out and trying to build my network and find new things that I was interested in. And how wonderful was it to just find not only like a new group of mates, but a new group of mates who are like passionate about the same things I am and just in the same stage of life that I am too. So it's just divine timing. It feels like it's been brilliant.
Exactly, for sure. And so for our listener, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. If anything here has resonated with you, please get in touch with us. But also, if there is not a dads group near you, please go to our website at www.dadsgroup.org. Check out the digital dads group page. You'll see the sessions that are available for you to that, because we want to be accessible to you. That's our heart. That's our desire, to be accessible to dads, to bring this encouragement to the rest of Australia. So please tune in there. And again, if there's not a time for you, reach out to us and we'll see what we can do. But thanks, guys, for listening in. Until next week, have a great week and we'll talk to you soon. Cheers, guys.
See you, guys. Thanks, mate.